Well, I said we will be looking at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, which I read it again. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I'm not sure if Matthew is ever using these words for the benediction at the end of a service. I use them quite regularly, and I'm not sure if you are familiar with these words. But as we are at the beginning of a new year, and it's the 18th of January, so a whole year ahead of us, I thought it might be useful to consider these words. Because as I said at the beginning, sometimes when we look forward, we look back as well. And as the prayer, because this is a prayer, addresses, it addresses God, the God of peace. And normally our prayers are addressed to God. We never pray to each other, we pray to God. And in this case, the God of peace. And that is very encouraging if we're just looking back at 2014. Or even in the first 2 weeks of 2015. Because as we prayed for the situation in Iraq and Syria, with the Islamic State, people being killed, Ebola virus in the world, but also just in the last 2 weeks, what happened in Paris. Suddenly we see celebrities walking around with pictures, Je suis Charlie. But by seeing that, we even forget the thousands of people that are being killed in the north of Nigeria. And also, if we look at the situation in the UK, the constant threat of flooding, breakdown of marriage and family, more and more people dependent on benefits, on food banks. Food banks are being oversubscribed. Increase of violence, increase of drugs. And maybe also here in the church, you have your challenges. Challenges maybe with each other. Maybe challenges in relationships that you have. And then when we're looking forward in the year ahead of us, we might wonder, what is it going to bring? I'm not looking forward to this year. I'm concerned, I'm worried, just on our past experience. And in that time, we can address this prayer to the God of peace. Because our God is a God of peace. He has peace in himself. He can give peace. He can produce peace. And he can grant peace that we are reconciled to him through Jesus. He can bring together those who are opposed to one another. He can bring harmony and fellowship among people, both inside the church, but also outside the church. And he also can give us that inner peace that passes all understanding. So he is the God of peace, and this prayer is addressed to him. And this prayer falls into two parts. First, what God has done in Christ. And secondly, what he will do for us. Because when we're looking ahead to the year to come, and we want to be encouraged by these words, what God will do for us, we first need to know what he has done in Christ. So let's look at that first. And the writer mentioned, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And there were many blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. And they had to be repeated day after day, year after year. Because they could not pay for all the sin. And this is why Jesus had to come. He was born to die. He had to shed his blood in death. Because he had to die for the sins of his people. He took the punishment on himself. He took our place. He laid down his life for his sheep. And we needed a savior who was both man and God. So God sent his only son. And God had promised this in his covenant with his people. He made this promise already to Adam after the fall. And he repeated it to Abraham. He formalized it with Abraham. And then he repeated it over and over and over again to his people Israel. And just before his death, Jesus established a new covenant in his blood. But it was a new face of that same eternal covenant. An agreement between God and his people that had been planned in eternity and that will last forever. And in the second sentence, after Jesus had died, the God of peace brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus was the proof that sin had been paid for. And normally when we buy something in the shop and we want to return it, maybe you got a present with Christmas that you didn't fit, or maybe you were so lucky to get the same thing twice and you wanted to bring it back, the shop asks for a receipt. They want a proof of purchase. They want to know, did you actually buy that here? And the resurrection of Jesus is the proof of purchase, that the price of sin had been fully paid. God's justice had been fully satisfied. It was the proof that our Lord Jesus had defeated Satan and death and evil. And that's why Easter Sunday is always such a joyful celebration of the risen life of Christ. Because Jesus has won the victory. He has triumphed. And because of his death and resurrection, Jesus is now that great shepherd of the sheep. And, well, if I ask the children what a shepherd is, do you know what a shepherd is? Who does a shepherd normally look after? Sheep. Sheep, yeah. And in the Bible, the shepherd is often used as an example. But here, Jesus is not referred to as a shepherd, just looking after sheep, but as a ruler, as an authority. David is referred to as the shepherd of Israel, but not because he used to be a shepherd, but because he was the king. We can read it in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 verse 70, he also chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel is in his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And after his resurrection, Jesus was exalted to God's right hand to be the king of all things for the sake of the church. He was given a position of rule and authority. And the writer of this letter says that Jesus is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. He is ruler over his sheep. And his sheep are his people. Those whom God has chosen, the elect, all true believers. And maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you come here as a guest and you're not that sure if you are part of God's elect. If you are a true believer. Or maybe you come here regularly and you're not so sure. Well, trust in God. If you're still wondering what to do, I think today is a good day to turn to God, to pray to Him, to ask Him. Because with Christmas, our minister was talking to the children and explaining what Jesus had come for. And first of all, He came as a ruler. And as with any ruler, you need to turn to Him. But He also came as a rescuer. And with a rescuer, you need to trust in a rescuer. So if you're not so sure this morning, then turn to Him and trust in Him, because He can be your ruler and rescuer. And Jesus is gathering His sheep from all over the world, so that eventually there shall be one flock and one shepherd. It's written in John, in the Gospel of John. So one flock and one shepherd. There won't be five flocks and five shepherds. There will be one flock and one shepherd. And you probably noticed that this chapter of Hebrews mentioned the human leaders of the church. As we read in verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And in verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out over your soul. But Jesus is the chief shepherd. And our youngest daughter sometimes asks, so are you the boss in the church? Or is Darren the boss of the church? And maybe you wonder, here is Matthew the boss of the church? Or maybe the elders. Well, I'm going to disappoint them if they thought it was, because they are not. They're under shepherds. Because there's only one boss, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is very encouraging. Jesus is looking after us. He is watching over us. And let's keep that in mind when we look forward to the year to come. Because Jesus was and is always there. He was there for you in 2014, and He will be there for you in 2015. He won't abandon His people. As we read in Psalm 23, those familiar verses, and I will look them up just to see how they are written in this translation. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And He will do that for each one of us when we trust in Him and when we place ourselves under His care. So that is the first part. That is what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So secondly, we will consider, what will God do for us? And the writer asks that God make you complete in every good work to do His will. That He make you complete. And if you look back at 2014, can you say that you are complete? Have you reached full maturity in Christ? Would any of you say that, no, my life is full. There is nothing lacking. Now, I think everybody knows that there are some areas of weakness, of failings, room for improvement. And there's plenty of room for growth in our lives and in our character. So let's not sit back content with our present position, but let's resolve that we seek to grow through the months and the year to come. Let's strive for greater maturity, so that we may be complete. And this applies to you as a church also. Because I'm sure there were many good things that have happened in 2014. much to be encouraged about. But I'm sure that there is room for growth in zeal for evangelism, in hospitality towards one another, in practical demonstrations of love, in a better use of our gifts. And again, Paul writes to the Ephesians, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus came to preach the good news for the poor, and to bind up the brokenhearted, and to comfort all who mourn. Well, may God do in your lives whatever there is brokenness, that He may restore that, that He might heal that, that He might mend those relationships. And the writer asks God to make you complete in every good work. Every good work. Well, I'm sure that if you ask the children to make a list for their birthday, and you say, can you make a wish list and include everything that you would like to have? Well, they probably go away and they come back with a pretty, pretty long list. A huge list. And even when we put our own wish lists together, we can come up with a lot of things that we want. But how much of the things that we want do we actually need? And often when we ask for presents, we often ask presents that benefit us. And when we look here, the writer prays that God would give these believers everything, every good work to do His will. And that includes the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He prays that they will do good. So do you pray for these things? Are these part of your requests? That you and others may grow in spirit? Are these the graces that you're asking from God? Because these are the things we need in order to do God's will. And God's will is that you be holy as He is holy. His will is that you be more sanctified and that you grow to be more like Jesus. And it is God. And it's God's will that you do that in all departments of your life. In your marriage, in your family life, in your relationships, in your leisure, in your social life, in how you speak and live. And God's will is for Sunday, and for Monday, and for Tuesday, and for every day of the week. And in this year to come, the God of peace, that He make you complete in everything good to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. And the previous phrase described how we are to live in obedience to God, in our good work, in our holiness. And this second phrase describes what needs to happen in us, inside of us. Because if it's right internally, it will show externally. A good tree will bear good fruit. So this is the work that takes place in us. And notice also that it is God who works in us. Anything good that happens within us is the result of His work. And that is a frequent emphasis in the scriptures. Yet you need to do something too. Because remember what I said. God, Jesus came as a ruler and as a rescuer. You need to trust in him. If a rescuer throws you a lifeline and you ignore it and you say, I'm not going to take that line, you won't be rescued. It won't help you. You need to act. You need to grab that line. And God will work in you, but you too must work. Christian growth is the work of the Holy Spirit and us working together. And who here of you has made some New Year's resolutions? Few? I see some heads. It's the 18th of January, so probably chances are that you've broken them already anyway. That's what statistics show. But suppose you resolve to be fitter in 2015. So you've decided to join a gym, to go for a run, to eat healthy, sleep well. And if you want to do that, you must do all of that. You can't do it for 2 weeks and say, wow, that was great, let 2015 come. You can't just do it for a couple of weeks. The same, you can't just do it one day a week. You can't just eat healthy on Saturday, exercise on Saturday, and then the rest of the week think, wow, I can just eat whatever I like. That won't have an effect. And it's the same with us spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually, you need to do spiritual exercises. You must feed on God's word in personal devotions, in worship services, in Bible study. You need to pray. You need to strive to obey God's commands and put them into practice, not just one day a week, but that has to be a continuous activity in all you do in your life. So in this coming year, will you work hard to grow so that you can do what is pleasing to God? And finally, the prayer says all of this through Jesus Christ. Because anything good that happens to us occurs through him. He is the center of God's work in us. Everything is based on him, channeled through him, done in his strength. And any growth we experience or progress we make is ultimately not the result of our work, but is the result of what God is doing through his Son. And that is why this prayer closes by giving all the glory to the Lord Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. And maybe this prayer is directed to the God of peace. Because he is, after all, the main subject of this prayer. But this praise could also be directed to the Lord Jesus, who has just been mentioned. And perhaps it's best to see as this is both directed to both the Father and the Son. So this is a fitting passage at the start of a new year. Because all the glory must go to God. This is the final goal in everything we do. That is the ultimate purpose in our lives. To glorify God in our living and in our worship. And maybe you wonder, well, I need some wisdom for that, for the rest of the year. Because I'm not so sure if I hold all the keys, if I know what to do. Well, if you want to know how to become wiser and to get more wisdom, I invite you to come back tonight. Because tonight we will be looking at Proverbs 1, how to become wise. So when we look at this prayer and when you look forward to the year ahead, be assured that God will be with you. Let's pray. O Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the words that you've given to us. We thank you for the blood of the covenant That through that blood, we have been saved. We have been restored. And we can be your children. And you want to be our Father. And Lord, as we go from here, we pray that you work with your Spirit in our hearts. That we become eager to learn more about you. To grow in faith. To grow in love for one another. We pray that you give us understanding and wisdom to learn how you want us to live our lives, to live holy lives. Let us therefore study the life of Jesus, how he dealt with difficulties, how he dealt with people around him, people that were after him. And Lord, we come before you now because we know that you are the God Most High, who will look after us forever and ever. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.